Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Revelation chapter 4 shows us the scene in heaven just prior to Christ in ascension entering in. What we see is God on his throne with a scroll containing the mysteries of the universe in his hand, and no one yet there able to open the scroll of the mystery. Dennis Agashi has joined us today as we move on today and consider the account in chapter 5, and we're going to find there is one able to open the scroll. Welcome back to the program, Dennis.
Thank you, Chris. I'm so happy that there is one to open the scroll.
In our look yesterday in chapter 4, we saw this scene and the throne of God with God on the throne and this scroll. Say a little bit about this pre-Christ situation that we see there.
The scroll actually is the new covenant or the title deed enacted by the Lord's shed blood. The content of the scroll is really the mystery of the universe or the mystery of God's economy unveiled in the book of Revelation to us. So we can see that the scroll that we're dealing with today, Chris, is not the scroll that is sealed, mm-hmm. but the unsealed scroll.
Dennis, the book of Revelation actually in structure, of course, we've had a kind of a prologue, I would say,
yes.
in the first 3 chapters and then chapter 4 taking. John was not just given a vision. He was literally transported to be firsthand witness of this scene
right.
in the heavens. And through his eyes, we get to see
yes.
what he saw.
Yes.
And the opening of each of these 7 seals that were sealing up the scroll really is the book of Revelation.
That's correct.
So for any people that are new to a study of Revelation, this is an important, I think, structural item that will help to understand as we go on. There's 7 seals and then 7 trumpets and 7 bowls.
Right.
But this is really the unveiling of this revelation, isn't it?
Sure is.
Dennis, let's join Witness Lee. Before we do, I'd like to point out a couple of the verses we're going to look at today. And now, as I mentioned before, we're in chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of him who sits on the throne a scroll written within, and on the back sealed up with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven, nor on the earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. One of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so that he may open the scroll and its 7 seals. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing as having just been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." The angel told the apostle John that the Lion of the tribe of Judah was the one worthy to open the scroll.
Yes.
But when John looked, what he saw was a lamb.
Right.
Let's join Witness Lee.
After Christ's ascension, the secrecy, the mystery of the universe shouldn't be any longer. He has fulfilled all the requirements required by God. Now he has opened this mystery and charged John to put all what John saw into writing. So this book is just the opened secret scroll in God's hand. The book of Revelation is the unsealed scroll. The scene was there, a throne, with God, and in the hand of God, there was a scroll sealed with 7 seals. John was desirous to see the opening of that scroll, but there was no one who was worthy. So, you know, that caused John to weep. John wept. If there's no Christ, the whole universe is worthy of our weeping. But how about there is Christ?
Amen.
We don't need to weep. because there is Christ. While John was weeping, an angel came to him. You don't need to weep. Behold, there is one. There's one who is worthy to open the scroll. Who is this one? The Lamb of the tribe of Judah. Now, you must go back to Genesis 49 and see who is the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. And this man at the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, in this sense, was not for redemption. He was for fighting. And he has the victory. And he is the overcoming Lamb. He is also the victorious Lamb. He is the one that has won the battle. So the angel recommended such a lion to John. And then after hearing this, John looked at the lamb. What he saw, it was not a lamb. What he saw was a lamb. In the angel's recommendation, it was a lion. But in John's seeing, in John's realization, it was a lamb. In the whole universe, there was only these two problems, Satan and sin. Christ as the Lamb has defeated and even destroyed Satan. And Christ as the Lamb has what? Taken away all our sin. He has won the victory and he has accomplished redemption. He is now the Lamb.
Dennis, what a picture we've got here. The scroll containing the mysteries of the universe was there in the right hand of the one on the throne. And the angel revealed to John that only this lion of the tribe of Judah was worthy to open it. But Dennis, when John turned to see the lion, he didn't see a lion. What he saw was a lamb. How is this significant that to the angel, Christ is the Lion of Judah, and to John, he's the lamb?
Chris, before I answer that, I'd like to just come back to this matter of him being the lion. The word clearly says that he overcame to open up the scroll. And this overcoming, if we read in the life study messages, you can see that Christ's overcoming was through his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. This qualified him to unseal the seals, to open up the scroll of God's economy. And then coming back to the question here, it's very interesting that in this section, the angel proclaimed the Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. A lion obviously is different from a lamb. Right. A lion is to defeat something. The Lord himself, I am so glad that the picture of the Lord, in according to Genesis 49, that Christ here is the lion, meaning that he overcomes the enemy, he's the fighter, he wins the victory. But when John turned and saw, he saw a lamb, not a lion, and the lamb was standing there as having been slain, showing that to the enemy, Christ is a lion, mm-hmm. but to us as his lovers and his redeemed ones, he's a lamb. It's really marvelous. As the lion, he overcomes the enemy, but as a lamb, he redeems us. What a marvelous revelation of Christ we have here.
This is the one that I'm glad you brought us back to that initial point. We wouldn't want to miss this. This is the one that is worthy.
Yes, absolutely.
This one with this kind of dual status, solving the two great problems.
Yes.
Right, in the universe.
Right.
The sin problem and the Satan problem.
Right.
Well, Dennis, let's go on a little bit. In verse 6, let me read this verse again, and then verse 7. And then I want to touch a couple of verses from Zechariah in the Old Testament. Witness Lee is not going to refer to them specifically, but they do help strengthen the point that he's going to make in this coming section. Verse 6 says, "And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as having just been slain." Now, please pay particular attention to this portion. "Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits upon the throne." This one with the seven eyes, Dennis. Now, if we look in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, it says, Hear then, Joshua the high priest, you and your fellows who sit before you, for they are men of symbol, for I am about to bring forth my servant the shoot. For here is the stone that I have set before Joshua. Upon one stone are seven eyes. Dennis, let's rejoin Witness Lee.
The lamb in the Gospel of John was with blood shedding, throwing, and the water. Right? That was the lamb in John, the Gospel. But here, the lamb in Revelation is one with seven eyes, burning eyes, flaming eyes, shine out, reaching farther and farther to touch people. This is for what? This is for God's building. Apparently, flaming eyes, burning eyes are for searching. But searching, judging are not the consummate goal. Searching, judging are procedures. For what? For the goal. And what is the goal? The goal is building. Yes, this book is for judgment as a procedure. But this book eventually is not consummated in judgment. After all the judgment, what comes out? The New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem issues out of all God's judgment. And God's judgment is carried out by the seven flaming eyes. And the seven flaming eyes are just the seven spirits. Eventually, as a kind of ultimate consummation, in this book, you have a city built with the present materials from where these present materials came. From where these precious stones came. From the seven eyes of Christ. From the life-giving spirit, from the transforming spirit. But in this book, the spirit is not called the life-giving spirit, neither is called the transforming spirit, but the seven spirits as the seven lamps, burning, searching, judging. To the degree the church, the spirit that gives life must be the seven burning spirit. Today, the life-giving spirit must be the flaming spirit. Today, the transforming spirit must be the searching, judging spirit. And his searching, his judging is just his purifying and his transforming.
Dennis, you know, it's obvious listening. The Bible that Witness Lee read just had one thing in it, didn't it? Ultimately, we see this again and again, God's economy resulting in this marvelous goal, consummation. I think all scholars pretty much realize and agree that much of Revelation is devoted to this matter of judgment, and we no doubt see that typified by the seven eyes there.
Yes.
But frequently, what is missed is this goal, the consummate goal of that judgment. And it's the consummation, not just of the book of Revelation, but the whole Bible. Let's talk about this for a moment. Again, what is the result or the goal of God's judgment?
It's interesting here, Chris, that the opening scene here after the Lord's ascension in Revelation 5 shows us this lion-lamb. All of a sudden it mentions this lamb has seven eyes. We're accustomed to this lamb in the Gospels,
right,
who's very dear, who's our Redeemer. And we all love this lamb who redeemed us, who took away our sin. But the lamb here in Revelation has seven eyes. We have to go back to find out what the significance of these seven eyes are. No doubt this lion, this lamb, surely is Christ himself.
Right.
What is the significance of the seven eyes? In Zechariah 3, the verse that you read shows us that on this stone there are seven eyes. No doubt this stone is also Christ. So the seven eyes here on the lamb and the seven eyes are on the stone in Zechariah 3. The seven eyes are on the lamb here in Revelation 5. What does this mean? This shows us that Christ is not only the redeeming lamb, not only is he the overcoming lion, but he's also the stone for God's building. This is your opening word here, Chris, that when Brother Lee reads the Bible, he sees the vision, not only the procedure of God's salvation, but he also shows us the purpose of God's salvation. Mm-hmm. We're all familiar with the procedure. The Lord died for us as the Lamb of God to redeem us from sins, to save us from eternal perdition. But what is the purpose of our salvation? The purpose of our salvation is eventually to make us precious stones for God's eternal dwelling place on the earth.
Mm. Dennis, that really brings us to what is the absolute focus of this message today. It's the focus of the life study of Revelation.
Yes,
it's the focus
right.
of the life study of the Bible. That is, in a crystallized term, I guess, the focus of this ministry.
Yes.
We want to reinforce the point you just made, that the purpose for all of the procedures, that we don't diminish or denigrate in any way.
Right.
We worship the Lord for the procedure that yes. has accomplished our salvation.
Yes.
But the purpose in each case is this matter of building.
Right.
Let's go back. He will refer to it in this last section, but let's go back to some verses that we, I think, are all familiar with, at least one or two in the context of gospel preaching. And I'm in Acts chapter 4 now. Verse 10 says, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God has raised from the dead, in this name this man stands before you in good health." A frequently quoted verse. And again, verse 11 now says, "This is the stone which was considered as nothing by you, the builders, which has become the head of the corner, and there is salvation in no other. For neither is there another name under heaven given among men in which we must be saved." This name, Dennis, is not just the name of Jesus, the name of our God. This is the name of the stone.
Yes. Marvelous.
Wonderful point. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
God's economy with his redemption is for the accomplishing of his eternal dwelling place, the New Jerusalem. So, his anointed one, the very Christ, has been, number one, the lamb. Number two, the lion. And number three, the stone. You see, he has redeemed us, and he has destroyed the enemy, and he has become the stone. You know, when the Pharisees were arguing with him, in Matthew, he told the arguing and opposing Pharisees in this way. He said, "The very stone the builder reject will become the cornerstone of God's building." Even in that talk, he indicated his redemption was for him to be the cornerstone. If you read Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "We all will be saved in his name." In whose name? In this cornerstone's name. Because in Acts chapter 4, in the foregoing verse, verse 11, it tells us that the stone rejected by the builders will become the cornerstone. Then in the following verse, verse 12, it says, "Whosoever believe in his name shall be saved." In whose name? In the stone's name. Not to be saved for you to go to heaven. To be saved for you to become also a stone for God's building. The concept here in this book is Christ being the Lamb, redeeming us, being the Lamb, defeating, destroying the enemy. For him to be a stone, to build up God's eternal dwelling place. By what way? By the way with the seven spirits as the flaming eyes, as the burning lamps to enlighten us, to search us and to judge us. By this way, he transforms all of us into white stones and into precious stones, and we all will be built up into the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
This is the view. He's the lion, lamb, stone. He's the lion, he's the lamb, and he's also the stone. The lion defeating the enemy, the lamb redeeming us, and the stone building up God's eternal dwelling place.
Dennis, the New Jerusalem, as the final consummation of this book, is the accomplishment of God's eternal dwelling place. If we really want to understand, not just Revelation, but the entire Bible, we dare not miss this matter of building. Even our Redeemer Christ has to be seen in this context, doesn't he?
It really is so, Chris. I'm just amazed again at Brother Lee's interpretation in Revelation chapter 5. We not only see Christ as the Lamb, which we're all familiar with, but we see him as a Lamb here in Revelation with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which is a whole other topic to cover, which we can't get into it. But we also see him as the Lion, overcoming Satan, the enemy. But now we see him, Christ, as the stone. Obviously, the stone is for God's building. I mean, the Jacob's dream, when he eventually poured the oil on the stone, he said, this is God's house.
Right.
And so the stone is always related to God's building. So the opening of the book of Revelation is really the opening of God's desire. His heart's desire is not just redemption, is not just our salvation. It's not just judicial. His heart's desire is that eventually, through his redemptive work and through our organically being saved, we would become God's building. And Chris, this impressed me that you remember in John chapter 1, when Peter came to the Lord, his name was Simon.
Right.
And then the Lord changed his name to Cephas, which is Peter, which means a stone. So not only is the Lord the cornerstone, but we as the regenerated believers are also stones. He is the chief cornerstone. We are the stones. We are the living stones. All are related to God's building, for God's eternal dwelling place on the earth. It's just amazing.
Yeah, to finish your thought there, the Lord changing Simon's name to Peter, changing his name to a stone, and then Peter in his epistle changes our name to stone.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, you also as living stones.
Living stones, right, right. So I think we should all change our name, Chris, to living stones.
Okay, Dennis. Dennis Livingstone and Chris Livingstone, we're out of time today for this really insightful, enlightening. I almost hate to use terms like that. They don't quite do it justice, but nonetheless, these messages are so full of light. We really pray that the Lord would shine his light and illuminate this in the hearts of all of our listeners. We, of course, want to recommend to you the printed material that supplements our time together today. These printed life study messages open like a flower, these chapters and passages that are so mysterious. Many people are even afraid to read this book of Revelation, Dennis, because they fear to touch it for all of the mystery surrounding it. But we're really seeing the mystery opened up.
Really so, Chris. And the mystery is just Christ, the opening of Christ. He's the Lion, he's the Lamb, he's the stone. And I think the title of this message is Christ as the Worthy One.
Yes.
Surely this is worthy. I mean, we have to praise the Lord for his worthiness. But now we have more meaning when we think of Revelation 5. We can really say Christ is really the Worthy One.
He really is. Thank you, Dennis. Please join us again as we continue this life study of Revelation. For Dennis Higashi today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.